On the whole, I think the Darwinian theory of evolution, at least with the additional insights of modern genetics, gives us a fairly coherent account of the evolution of human life on Earth. At the same time, I believe that karma can have a central role in understanding the origination of what Buddhism calls sentience through the media of energy and consciousness. Despite the success of the Darwinian narrative, I do not believe that all the elements of the story are in place. To begin with, although Darwin's theory gives a coherent account of the development of life on this planet and the various principles underlying it, such as natural selection, I'm not persuaded that it answers the fundamental question of the origin of life. Darwin himself, I gather, did not see this as an issue. Furthermore, there appears to be a certain circularity in the notion of survival of the fittest. The theory of natural selection maintains that of the random mutations that occur in the genes of a given species, those that promote the greatest chance of survival are most likely to succeed. However, the only way this hypothesis can be verified is to observe the characteristics of those mutations that have survived. So, in a sense, we're stating simply this: because these genetic mutations have survived, they are the ones that had the greatest chance of survival. From the Buddhist perspective, the idea of these mutations being purely random events is deeply unsatisfying for a theory that purports to explain the origin of life. Karl Popper once commented that, to his mind, Darwin's theory of evolution does not and cannot explain the origin of life on Earth. For him, the theory of evolution is not a testable scientific theory, but rather a metaphysical theory that is highly beneficial for guiding further scientific research. Moreover, the Darwinian theory, while acknowledging the critical distinction between inanimate matter and living organisms, fails to acknowledge adequate qualitative distinctions between living organisms, such as trees and plants, on the one hand, and sentient creatures on the other. One empirical problem in Darwinism's focus on the competitive survival of individuals, which is defined in terms of an organism's struggle for individual reproductive success, has consistently been how to explain altruism, whether in the sense of collaborative behavior, such as food sharing or conflict resolution among animals like chimpanzees or acts of self-sacrifice. There are many examples, not only among human beings, but among other species as well, of individuals who put themselves in danger to save others. For instance, a honeybee will sting to protect its hive from intruders, even though the act of stinging causes it to die. Or the Arabian babbler, a type of bird, will risk its own safety to warn the rest of the flock of an attack. Post-Darwinian theory has attempted to explain such phenomena by arguing that there are circumstances in which altruistic behavior, including self-sacrifice, enhances an individual's chances of passing on its genes to future generations. However, I do not think this argument applies to instances where, I am told, altruism can be observed across species. For example, one might think of the host birds who wean and rear baby cuckoos left in their nests, although some have explained this exclusively in terms of the selfish benefit obtained by the cuckoos. Moreover, given that this kind of altruism does not always appear to be voluntary, some organisms seem programmed to act in a self-sacrificial way. Modern biology would basically see altruism as instinctive and dictated by genes. The problem becomes all the more complex if we bring in the question of human emotion, especially the number of instances of altruism in human society. Some more dogmatic Darwinians have suggested that natural selection and survival of the fittest are best understood at the level of individual genes. Here we see the reduction of the strong metaphysical belief in the principle of self-interest to imply that somehow individual genes behave in a selfish way. I do not know how many of today's scientists hold such radical views. As it stands, the current biological model does not allow for the possibility of real altruism.